Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast now in our 20th year. I'm Roger Grossi, editor-at-large for GGB, and today we sit down with Dan Real, the founder and CEO of Exclaim Recovery. With almost 30 years' experience at Caesars Entertainment, including a stint running the company's Southern properties, Dan Real left the company to found Exclaim Recovery, dedicated to identifying and treating problem gambling. Exclaim Recovery is developing new tools to treat problem gambling using AI, technology, and community. The program includes approachable mentors and educational resources and a founder who understands the psychology of casinos and the commitment to helping each troubled individual find their own path. He spoke with me at the Global Gaming Expo in October. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. We're here at G2E 2025. Day two is almost over, but I have a special guest today, Dan Real. He's the founder of Exclaim Recovery, a very interesting new company, but he also is a very experienced casino executive. So Dan, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it. You have a great story to tell. And I want to start off, though, with how did your career path lead to Exclaim Recovery?
Sure. Thanks, Roger, and thanks for having me. You know, just hearing you do the open, it was a little bit weird to see it in person because for so many years I would listen to your podcast.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
And you would
that.
Have those great tones of your inflection on the intro. So it's great to be here. You know, it's a long story that I won't go all the way into, but 28 years with Caesars Entertainment. I loved it.
Right.
Started at Harrah's Joliet as an intern in marketing.
Uh-huh.
21 positions and 28 years later, with Caesars/Harrah's. And it was fantastic. And I loved every bit of it. My favorite part of all of those years was leading the South region.
Yeah.
And it's just phenomenal down there. New Orleans is a special place.
It is, no question, yeah.
And that's
Biloxi
become
too,
home. Biloxi, absolutely.
Yeah.
I was blessed to oversee that property as well. So it really was a great journey. And, you know, what I will say is I was in three markets. I was in the Joliet market to start.
Uh-huh.
Then I moved to Council Bluffs, Iowa. I met my wife, who's from Omaha, right across the river. We had three little girls. And then I got the call to go to Harrah's New Orleans as a general manager in 2010. And so I did that for 1 year. And then 1 year into it, I had the opportunity to take on the whole region. And I loved every minute of it.
Yeah.
And then fast forward to my last position. It was at a time where the Caesars Digital operation was losing significant money.
Right, sure.
And one of the charges given to me was to try to help bring that into the positive. And I'm very grateful to say we as a team were able to do that. And they're on their way up with the EBITDA in that area now. But it was also time for me as I was letting my gambling get too far out of control.
Okay.
And I needed to do something about it. And I hadn't had a day off in a very, very long time because it's a 24/7, 365 business.
Yeah, no question.
And so I wanted to do something new and unique. I learned how to navigate those challenges for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I've put all of my energy now into Exclaim Recovery. And we actually launched Friday. I don't know when this will air, but it will be October 10th. At 10 a.m.
Okay.
So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, well, congratulations. That's an exciting time to do. But let's talk about all the strategies as a former executive. Do you think some of those strategies were harmful to certain players, obviously?
Yeah, I want to make one thing clear. I am not a prohibitionist all of a sudden.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
this industry
of course, right.
was a great thing for mm-hmm. me in my life. And we know that well over 90% can do it and have a good time.
Right.
So I have no malice towards the industry. Where
right.
I do is I do believe that the marketing can get predatory.
Right.
And I do think, you know, when PASPA was overturned, all the states rushed to get this thing done. And it was sort of, golly gee, have a little skin in the game in the home team.
Right.
And I don't think anybody envisioned, will the next pitch be over or under 93 miles an hour?
Right.
And literally 1,000 options per game. That's
right.
just a little more than I think was intended. I think that's going to lead to significant issues down the road. We see it already. It's starting to happen. And so my focus is not so much on trying to relive the past.
Right.
I'm trying to focus now on what is it going to look like for those who simply can't rein it in.
Right.
And there really isn't a great option right now. I have a lot of respect for Gamblers Anonymous and some of those other things, but I really believe that what we're going to serve, the purpose we're going to serve, is to fill a void where people really need to get help in this new world. And so that's my biggest gripe, is I think there's a lot of pressure on the industry to generate revenue. If you look at the brick and mortar properties, their market cap is continuing to sink.
Right.
Yet United States is shattering revenue records. So what do you do?
Yeah.
And what they do is start to add more and more bets in that are more and more difficult for people to win.
Sure.
And so that's where I sort of break apart from the industry.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think the parlay market is pretty dangerous at this point. They push them. Oh, this is going to, you'll make X amount of money but they actually don't pay out the actual percentage that they should pay out.
Of course. It's like triple zero roulette or anything else.
Yeah, exactly,
they're starting to get into where can we make as much money, and they know that people will bet it, and they will. And they do.
Right. Talk a little bit about your personal journey with gambling. Gary DeBart was a good friend of mine back in Atlantic City, and Gary had a severe gambling problem and led to his downfall for a long time. And luckily, he's into recovery right now. But if you feel comfortable with it,
of course,
let us know a little bit about your.
Yeah, I've warned my wife and my three daughters that as I do this journey, it's going to get a little bit raw, and I'm trying to be very honest about everything. So the first bet I remember making was at 5 years old at Sportsman's Park Racetrack in Chicago. And I remember the number 7 crossing the finish line like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't remember much about my high school academics or college academics, but I can tell you where I was, when I was, on certain sports events. And so it's been a part of my life since I was 5 years old, and in one way or the other. And I balanced the two, I think, quite well through the years. I was always very careful, understanding that I have a key license for an operator.
Sure, of course,
and unlike some of the others who unfortunately have to go down certain paths and then find themselves on the way back, I'll tell you what did it for me, Roger, as I just realized I was wasting so much time and energy and brain power. And then on top of it, there was never going to be a big enough win.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest problem.
Sure,
so it wasn't that I hit rock bottom per se. I'm definitely not proud of how much I have lost over my life, but I'm in a position now where actually I'm using my own funds to create this company, and I'm hoping to do it for free for everybody. And so that's the new journey. But that's where I sort of came from, a youngster who was answering the phone for a dad who was a bookie. And I guess you could kind of say I ended up probably where I was going to end up with that type of a background in life.
Yeah.
And again, I wouldn't trade it. I met my wife because of it. I have three beautiful girls, and the industry was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So tell us what really drove you to form Exclaim Recovery.
So I really started to understand when I started to look for help that it really didn't exist. There are great people out there doing amazing things, but it's nowhere near at the scale it needs to be right now.
Sure.
So I'll give you one quick example that really started to put me to the point of doing something about it rather than wondering what I was going to do. And that is, I went to a psychiatrist appointment. We sat down, we started talking, and then he asked me, well, what's the most you've ever lost? And then, have you met any celebrities? What's the most you've ever seen them lose? Did you ever see Michael Jordan gamble? And I was like, am I here to entertain this guy?
Yeah,
or is this a session where we were going to talk about it? And then repeat that a few times. And then finally I said, I have helped people. I have helped people that people listening to this would know the name if I were to reveal it. And I never will, of course. I bring that up only for the point to say that this disease does not discriminate. It happens to teachers, it happens to clergy, it happens to CEOs. Look at Michael Jordan, look at Charles Barkley and Chris Webber. And you could go down the list of people that are connected to gambling.
Sure, right.
Phil Mickelson, John Daly. It is, there's something about the gamble that is in some of us.
Yes.
And I think it's the competitive juices, and it's the way my brain is wired.
Yeah.
But I realize that there's not one size fits all. And
right.
So what I'm trying to do now is create this company where if you, whether it's you lost your last $20 on scratchers and can't pay your rent, or if you've lost $1 million and that's your whole bonus for this year, they're both feeling pain in different ways.
Sure, right.
And I wanted to be there and offer something that both of those people would find value in my company.
So, you've have several issues
about the way the industry is approaching problem gambling these days. And again, you're not a prohibitionist, but you know, there's different ways. I was talking to somebody earlier today. Every company has a different approach to problem gambling.
Sure.
And I don't think that should be. I think there should be best practices, right? I mean, that everybody knows this works. Let's all do it the same way.
We will get there.
Yeah.
We're not there yet. And part of it is because the regulators, in my opinion, haven't gotten there themselves.
Okay. Yeah.
I think they really were caught up in the whirlwind of PASPA being overturned. And don't forget, they're not lifelong industry execs. They're appointed by the governor in
sure,
many cases.
Right.
And
yep.
Again, nothing personal, but I think that they've gotten a little too close to the industry. And what I'd like to see is not as archaic or as, you know, severe as Europe is doing right now. I think what will happen is if we don't do something soon, eventually
right.
that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I've joked you're going to need a blood sample and a DNA swab to be able to make a bet on one of these platforms if they don't start paying
sure.
attention.
Right.
And so what I think needs to happen is we need to get to a point where the industry embraces this. And I'm not just talking about budgets or
right.
spreadsheets. I'm talking about when they publicly will say to a new state, we realize that this will have a negative impact on a certain group of people.
Right.
Most will do it for fun and entertainment. However, we, as the operator asking you to expand and give us a license, we will commit to you right now that we're going to do more than we've ever done
yeah.
to take care of the people who can't take care of themselves or they
right.
fall into this terrible disease. So my problem right now with the industry is that I know they know it's bad.
Yeah.
But they haven't been forced yet to admit publicly that there is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sending out people that represent them and they're telling half-truths or flat-out
right.
lies.
Yeah.
And they're not getting, there's no negative repercussions.
Yeah.
And so as you're going to get states number 8, 9, 10, and 11 for
right.
iGaming coming up, I'd have to imagine you're going to get three to five in the next 12 to 24 months. And as you see that happen, at some point, the addiction rate is going to become so large that it can't be hidden under the umbrella that we're under right now. I'm not insinuating that people are hiding the reality and causing people to commit suicide. I think what they're doing is they're starting to dip their toe in the water with some of these organizations
yeah.
and they're trying to get better, but they haven't gotten to the point where they need to really take care of it. And to you, you brought it up. I think it's a great point and I try to bring it up all the time. I think there needs to be a breakout of two pieces and it needs to be responsible gambling and gambling care. So there's no stigma around, is it gambling harm? Is it gambling disorder? Is it gambling addiction? We get lost in words.
Right.
Let's focus on the reality. You can get out prevention, you could get out awareness, you get out education, and all of these companies should be doing that at a higher level than they're doing now.
Right.
They're starting to get there, but they're not there yet. And then what happens, though, is once they get to the point where they can't help them anymore, they just give them the 1-800 number
right.
or they send them to a telehealth company
right.
or something along those lines. That cannot be the handoff.
Right.
You know, you can't love me while I have money and then when I go broke, kick me to the curb.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to minimize the pain by being there sort of as a net to catch anybody and everybody that needs it. But I need the industry to start to come along as well and,
yeah.
and acknowledge that this is a problem.
Yeah.
And so they're, you know, they quote statistics that are favorable, like certain states, the bankruptcy level is not as bad as it is in other states. And I, you know, my argument is, are you arguing that the expansion of sports betting and
yeah.
iGaming is going to improve the or reduce bankruptcies?
Right.
Please do not insult me like that.
Yeah.
That is not reality.
Right.
We can argue about what the percentage is, but
yeah.
let's not talk about things that we all know are not factual.
Right,
so
right.
I just, you know, Roger, I know it's going to happen. And ironically, it's going to happen with more pain first, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But as long as they don't get held, their feet held to the fire, they're running their business and they're trying to make as much money as they possibly can.
Right, right. So the most recent addition to the gambling industry, as you like to say.
Yes. Oh, I think that
right.
yeah, that's a whole other topic.
Is online gambling. And
yeah.
You know, that when you hear the New Jersey Council on Compulsive Gambling and all these state agencies, they say their calls have skyrocketed since the legalization of online gaming and sports betting.
Yes.
So But there's not really been any studies done on where.
Well, that's no mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, you can spend, you know, you earn 40 to 50 billion since PASPA was overturned, and you spend a couple hundred million on lobbyists, but not $1 has gone to a nonpartisan study.
Right.
You can't tell me that that's on accident.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, but it benefits them to be able to go into state capitals and argue over statistics that have not been proven false.
Right, yeah.
And if they did do a study, they probably would have to change their argument.
Yeah. I had an interesting piece written for us. We just did a series of articles on Responsible Gaming Education Month, and you were included in that.
I was grateful to be a part of it, yes.
We had one by Nathan Smith, Dr.
Yes.
Nathan, and he was arguing about that. You have to, like, forget about, you know, I forget what it was, but how many people, you know, could be addicted by it.
Right.
Because you can't predict that.
That's correct.
So, you know, but you're right, there needs to be a real independent study done.
Yeah, let's do it and let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, again, people are going to gamble. And
right.
If you're running a company right now and you are not making as much money as you should be, then you have a bad business model.
Right.
Because Americans have never lost more money than they are right now.
Right, yeah.
And yet it feels like some of the legacy casinos in particular, like casino companies, they're struggling. Their market caps are low.
Yeah.
Revenue is high. And they're not really finding a way forward. And so that's going to lead to other things that we've discussed earlier.
Right.
I won't get into the value and the pricing in Vegas, but they are desperate to continue to make every 90 days palatable to the earnings community.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah,
and that leads to some bad outcomes, in my opinion.
Yeah, no question. So there's literally hundreds of organizations that purport to help problem gamblers. I mean, every state has an organization. You know, every part of the industry has an organization. So, you know, they don't seem to talk to each other. You know, I mean, and they certainly, you know, don't agree with each other. I mean, how can we kind of get them to on the same page as well?
Yeah, you know, I learned the hard way on this one. I'll admit, I came into this in early March thinking that I would be embraced.
Yeah.
Again, not ego-driven, but
right,
basically
sure.
This guy was one side of the window, and now he's on our side of the
right.
window, and he's going to help.
Right.
And what I found out quickly was they wanted no part of me whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
not even to assist them, free, or do anything.
Yeah.
And then I started wondering, is it me? Is it them? What's going on? And then when I went to a conference, what I realized is, there are some amazing people that are doing this for very little money.
Right.
They don't get a ton of support, financial or right. labor-wise. And the reality is, Roger, that every state is what drives what you get, because not one national dollar
right.
is going towards problem
right.
gambling.
Yeah.
Not one. So what you get is a group of people who don't get as much as they feel they need, and yet they don't raise a public issue because they're getting funded through the industry itself.
Right.
So you really can't, and that's where I came through, which is I don't have a boss.
Right.
And I'm speaking up, and I started to do it really from an academic standpoint and from a lived experience. But then I got angry.
Yeah.
Because I had nobody to really turn to. You've got some people in the gambling space, the gambling harm space, that are prohibitionists.
Yeah.
They want no part of it. They think it's the devil. They think that every part of it's bad and that everybody that works for a casino is going to hell. And then you get the people who, those 100 organizations, they want to help.
Yeah.
It's a mixture of self-survival and, honestly, a lack of knowing what to do.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do if someone like I called them and said, RG didn't work for me, and I'm not going to sit in a high school gymnasium with somebody I've never met on a Wednesday to
right.
tell them about my problems.
Yeah.
This is a different world we live in now.
Yeah.
And so we have to adjust to the realities. And I just think that right now we haven't adjusted well enough on the RG side in order to really stem some of the flow that's going on.
Okay. So in terms of treatment, does Exclaim Recovery have a different avenue that you're going down right now?
Yeah, so I have an advisory board that is made up of somebody from the legal background. I have two doctors of psychology and psychiatry. I have someone else from the industry, and they help make sure that what I'm trying to build through my lived experience and through the engineers that I've hired, they're trying to make sure that everything that I'm doing is exactly where we need it to be legally, and because there's ethics, rightfully so, being raised around AI.
Sure.
And one of the big pieces of what I'm going to do is have my AI recovery assistant, the first one in the world, is named Hope, and everyone will meet Hope on Friday. I am launching with extreme guardrails.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to win any tech awards. And okay, if you go on Friday, you'll be like, it's kind of simplistic.
Yeah.
I can assure you it's a powerful engine I have, but I can't take the risk of right away launching and someone killing themselves or harming themselves.
Right, right.
And so I'm going way out of my way to make sure it's very clear that we're starting with baby steps.
Right.
But the focus ultimately will be, and where we're different, is 24/7, 365. You could go on your phone, the same device that has caused so many problems, and you could ask questions. You could get an update. You could set goals. And my assistant will help you. The next day, it will give you a notification and say, you said you wanted to go for a 30-minute walk. Pop up. Did you go for your 30-minute walk? You know, it's there to help you.
Right.
And so I have tried to build it in a way where that is a major piece. It's new. It's unique. There are people that are weary about it. But I will say this, if you can let me just say my piece on this briefly, which is there are somewhere in the range of 20 million people in the United States, varying ranges of gambling harm to some extent. We don't know the exact number, but give or take, say it's 15, just to be really safe.
Right.
For every 10,000 people struggling with gambling, there's one certified therapist or clinician in the United States.
Right.
So who is helping them? The second piece is the people who are concerned about my AI chatbot aren't raising holy hell over GA, despite the fact that they don't know who is running that meeting in the gymnasium. And they also don't require certification or any type of document whatsoever saying they are able to run these meetings. It's a peer-driven support system.
Sure, right.
And so that's what I'm focused on. I'm going to do what I have learned after all these years. I'm going to make sure that the bot is there to help 24/7. Several hundred thousand people a month right now are going on a ChatGPT and Google and other places talking about a gambling addiction.
Yeah.
And so they're doing it already. Let's not pretend that they're not. And I am doing it for free. I hope at some point someone will see the greater good that I'm doing and help me, because if I had even more engineers, we would be able to do even better. But the last piece that I want to make sure is understood as well is this is not to eliminate the need to go see a doctor.
Right.
This is not to get in the way of human intervention. This is, if you do see a doctor on Wednesdays and you like your doctor, if you have an addiction, you still have 6 days to go till you get back again.
Yeah, right.
What are we doing in between? And ideally, what I'm going to do is show these therapists that this is a great tool for them to balance their urges and their triggers from week to week when they go see the doctor.
Right.
And so there's many different ways we're going to approach this. At the end of the day, I'm launching again very remedially. But as soon as I feel confident, I'm going to take the training wheels off. And I think people start to see this is a very powerful option for those who are struggling.
Yeah, okay. So obviously AI requires a lot of data.
It does.
And you do you get data off of that ChatGPT thing that you
were talking about? Well, we've used, we use ChatGPT, we use Claude, we use Gemini, but we are not just using them and putting it there.
Okay.
What happens is with the doctors and with my lived experience, we've turned it from a ChatGPT-like bot into a gaming specialized therapy assistant, recovery assistant.
Okay.
And even if I ran a test, I said to ChatGPT, what is the difference between ChatGPT and Exclaim Recovery? And they said, ChatGPT issues requests and gives you feedback.
Yeah.
Exclaim Recovery will give each individual their own customized journey. And when you come back, they will remember you and they will help you along the way. They will not require you to talk to a human being if you don't want to. You could stay anonymous on my site.
Yeah.
So this is about helping people without a doubt where they are, and it's going to learn from the users. And so the other piece that I'm going to do that ChatGPT doesn't is every single user has an opportunity to put in the box, what do they want to see? Do they want more articles? Do they want more experts? Do they want more podcasts? What do you want? Do you like the use of AI? Or does it make you nervous? And so we've done all the legal things that we need to do as far as protecting the data and the customer safety and all of those things. I make it very clear that we're not a site if you are thinking about self-harm or suicidal ideation. Unfortunately, we know that one in five think about it or commit. And so I am trying to be there to be a stopgap before somebody gets to that point, rather than getting there, coming to speak to me. I'm not prepared to help you not kill yourself. Sure. Okay. I'm prepared to help you to stop betting if that's what you want.
Right. There's, you know, suicide prevention sites that they could go to.
A 988. That's the minute you bring it up, I'm erring on the side of over extreme caution.
Yeah.
Even if I told my engineers, even if they said, I tried to commit suicide in 2023 and now I'm doing great and I'm not back on my feet, they go, I'm not ready to handle that yet. I will. That person is great for my site if they really are in that position. But you also don't know if somebody's saying no when I ask if they're thinking of suicide, if they're saying no because they know that's the only way they get through to the bot to be able to talk. So I have to just be extra careful, and I am.
Sure. So are you willing to partner with some other groups? For instance, we just mentioned Dr. Nathan Smith. He's a part of the Kindbridge treatment program, and I understand that that's one of the most successful programs out there. I mean, if they wanted to partner with you somehow, would you be open to that?
Yeah, I'd be open to that. I've talked to them. I'm not going to make news today, but I prefer Birch's. I think Elliot Rappaport is really a great guy, and I like the way he goes about his business. I think, you know, it's telehealth, same thing. I think Elliot wants to do the right thing, and not that money's secondary, but it's not his driving force.
Right.
And so that's the type of person I want to partner with. But yes, Roger, if I had to guess, it would be a telehealth company. It would be a mental health company. It might even be a gaming industry company.
Right.
Anybody that wants a tool that will allow their users to be able to either stick to a budget or get immediate help, that's what I can offer.
Yeah, okay, great. So what are your goals for Claim Your Recovery?
Well, just getting launched is a big deal. It's been a long 7 months. Honestly, I haven't taken one day off. I don't count this as either. I fly in, fly out. But it's so important to me, Roger, that I have really committed everything I have mentally, physically, financially. And my goal is that Exclaim Recovery will become synonymous with gambling addiction and gambling care in a reliable, trusted, successful resource where people know that if you send them to Exclaim Recovery, they have a good chance to be helped.
Yeah.
And if they can't get helped, I hope my site is a conduit to what would be right for that person.
Okay.
And so that's my goal. We don't have a Betty Ford for gambling.
Right.
And I'm not sure if that's where I want to go, because again, it's a new generation, but synonymous with it is my goal, because if I get there, what that means is I've helped a lot of people, because you don't earn that title without earning it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So this podcast will be broadcast after your grand opening and your where can people find out more information about the company?
They can go to www.exclaimrecovery.com. You could just write it in on Google. Any search engine will take you right there. And then once you get to the site, there's a brief registration process. And as I mentioned, every step is free right now through the end of the year. Ideally, I find a partner before the end of the year, and then we can keep it free forever.
Sure.
To me, being free is the most important piece for a gambling addiction recovery site.
No
and
question.
So it gets expensive if thousands of people are using it every single day and I don't have any income, but that's secondary to me.
Sure.
And you know, ultimately, my number one goal is that people will say, I don't have to be the Pied Piper anymore. The clientele will say, thank God I came across Exclaim Recovery. They changed my life. And so that, and then lastly, the community. Right now, there are other good sites out there, the hundreds you've mentioned and others, but if you go to their chat in their community, two or three of the same people are the ones talking.
Yeah.
I want to build something huge to where everyone is welcome and it's a fun site. This doesn't need to just be dread for everybody. The reality is, in recovery, you need to figure out a way to live the rest of your life, not just get past today.
Right. Yeah.
And so I'm trying to add some levity when it makes sense. And so I want it to be a site that you go to Exclaim Recovery and you're going to be taken care of and you're going to be really happy, because there will be options.
Okay.
And I'll be the first to admit that if we aren't the right person for them, I will help them either get to Birch's or get to Gamblers Anonymous or wherever else they might fit best.
Okay, great. Well, Dan, extreme respect for you for doing this. You know, after all the years in the industry, you're giving back.
Yes.
And I think it's very remarkable, and I wish you the best of luck. And anything we can do to help spread the word about that, you let me know, and we'll do what we can.
Yeah, I think I wrote this to you, Roger. I really am not just saying this dad in the pod. I really admire the way you go about it. You have strong opinions, and you share them.
Yeah.
But you do so in a way where you're inclusive, and I can learn a lot from that. I got really angry because it felt like us versus them.
Right.
And I hope that day comes to an end. But I can definitely learn from you and some others that I really respect that do this for a living, and yet you could have the most dedicated gambling brain in the world sitting here, and then yet you have a seat for me. And so I really, really am grateful to be included. So thank you.
Great. Well, we like to be involved in these kind of things. The anti-smoking thing, we're also involved in it. So
we're aligned.
So thanks for taking time for coming here. And again, anything we can do, we're here for you.
No, you're great. Thanks a lot, Rob.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for joining us on the GGB podcast. To learn more about the topics discussed today and all the important issues in gaming, check out the Global Gaming Business Magazine. For a free virtual copy of the magazine, subscribe at ggbmagazine.com. To stay current with the daily news of the gaming industry, subscribe for free to the Global Gaming Monitor at igamingbusiness.com. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.